702 and Cape Talk Entrepreneur Corner.
And today we have in the studio with me Brian Green, who's the owner of 44 Stanley Avenue. I've always wondered who's behind that very cool space that we have here in Johannesburg that connects different parts of the city. And we're going to be chatting to him in terms of property entrepreneurship about what the journey has been. Brian, thank you so much for coming to the studio. It's wonderful meeting you.
My pleasure, Eusebius.
So we live apart. It's part of just the history of this country, not just racially, linguistically, in terms of class, language, all sorts of divisions. You know, it's the bread and butter of talk radio in this country because we're so deeply divided. And what's really cool about 44 Stanley, like quite literally, even just geographically, is that it sort of like sits on the cusp of so many different parts of Jersey as a city. Talk to me about what your vision was for that space.
Well, it kind of came to me by a complete accident, because my real job is I'm a cameraman, and I've been a cameraman for 30 years, but all the way back in 2003, my little camera business was right next door to 44 Stanley, and my brother-in-law wanted to open a bar, and I said, well, he needs to come and look at this derelict site, and it all stemmed from there. We ended up opening the Color Bar, and I love old buildings and dereliction, and it's kind of grown into a passion with me, and hooking up with the right people. My partner, Mark Batchelor, really helped me along the way because he knows the business of property development. And there you go. We just we found the spot. We believed in it. It was very close to quite wealthy areas. But as you say, it's on that institutional route that kind of divides Johannesburg.
It does.
South and north, yeah.
And that's part of the charm, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I really enjoy challenging areas, and I think it's very important that we pick the city up and try and join the dots with lots of beautiful spaces and try and kind of elevate people's aesthetic to a point where they start enjoying things that are beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is now all the rage about Bramfontein, about Maboneng, and those are important little precincts. Sometimes we don't quite have the integration effect that we imagine we will, and then they become a form of gentrification as well. Yeah. But way before those other spaces downtown were cool, or attempts to make them cool, 44 Stanley has been there all along. Were you worried when you had that vision? You say you and your partner believed in that particular space, but you must have wondered, I wonder whether Google Eusebius will want to travel from the north all the way down south.
Well, you know, I think when I take a project on, I kind of take it on without thinking about failure at all. I just burn my bridges as I go, not worrying about what happened yesterday, and you just keep going forward. And I saw this gem in 44 Stanley. I saw an extraordinary little shopping precinct. Everyone else thought I was mad, apart from a couple of people. In fact, my partner thought I was a bit mad as well, but he loved my enthusiasm. And I think that's what it's all about. It's really about believing in your own nonsense and having the enthusiasm to just go kind of hell for leather and just never stop.
Do you think, Brian, that ability to just put your head down, take a risk on a vision that you have, and it's a wonderful imagery for cameramen in particular, because you can see more layers than we can. The beauty of these derelict buildings, now they can be turned around functionally, aesthetically, and for people to hang out. I love it. Sunday morning, you have, you know, you can go from Salvation Cafe to another part of it. You can some of the books that are being sold there, the works of art. I mean, it's an amazing collection of different shops that are there. That's absolutely stunning. As an entrepreneur, how do you calculate the risk? Because
there's no
risk. I admire that ability to take a chance on a vision that you have.
Yeah.
And you have an entire career that you could have, where you are a line item at ENCA or Prime Media or some film industry company, and you decide, actually, I'm going to go in there. You say, I have no risk. That is the most ballsy I've ever heard the risk element being stated by the entrepreneurs.
No. I mean, the whole model, how we actually got 44 Stanley going, it's not a very big site. It's 8,000 square meters with about 4,500 square meters of gross lettable area. And I conceived a way of doing the deal and put it forward to my much wiser partner, And he, at the time, was very friendly with the people from Old Mutual Properties who owned the property. And we basically came up with a no-risk solution to getting the problem, turning it into what it is today. And that was that the precondition for a sale was that we secure 1,000 square meters of tenants before any deal was signed. I signed 2,000 square meters of tenants, but the time it took to actually sign off the deal took a further it took a year, and then it took an extra 5 months or 17 months in total. And in that last 5 months, we lost about 1,000 square meters of tenants because they thought it was never going to happen and whatever. But I carried on, and of course Mark and I carried on, and we clinched it, and then we basically took the property on it, and it really cost us nothing because first of all Old Mutual financed it, and then once we had got it to a bondable state, which was quite soon after we started. Investec took it on.
Okay. 14 minutes after 11. Do you enjoy hanging out at 44 Stanley? What memories do you have of it? What takes you there? What has over the years? I'm sure many of you listening to the show recognize 44 Stanley is a really cool precinct where you can go and hang out, can do all sorts of things. Talk to us about what some of your favorite places are around that entire area. 011-883-0702. Maybe you know Brian. Want to say how's it as well? Or maybe you've got a question for him as a fellow entrepreneur who plays in a similar kind of space, and you've got some concerns, some headaches. Here's an opportunity to speak to someone else who had a vision and who put his head down and with his partner simply went for it. What questions do you want to put to him just as a fellow entrepreneur, as a business person? 021-446-0567. When you have a derelict building, I can imagine the vision being that this can be a pretty cool, different kind of space. It is not the sanitized Sandton City space. It is not even, you know, Rosebank. It offers something very different aesthetically, but were there other challenges from everything from plumbing to the actual building itself? Because you can have the vision, and then after someone does a proper structural and other forms of analysis of the site, then you go, oh, Khona, now my cost structure is actually going to be bigger than I thought.
Yeah, you see, I don't think like that. I leave that to my partner.
Smart move.
Yeah. So no, I just kind of, I see these buildings and I just, first of all, it's very important in cities that have fallen a little bit kind of, they've crumbled a little. It's very important to fill the gaps and fix what was there originally, because it's cheaper in many ways to do it. But you've got to decide, is it going to be viable to do it or not? And I believe it is. I believe that cities, and old cities in particular, London, New York, whatever city you want, they've all gone through phases where they're in their good phase, they go down, they fall down, and they come up again. And the most valuable spaces are always those finite spaces in the older parts of the city. That were established, that did have a life once upon a time, or they move from being one thing to another. So I just look at the possibilities, and I always believe, and I do believe, that you can change or you can turn a brownfield project or a derelict building into a new usable building for less than you would be able to do from building from a greenfield project or from the base up.
How did you guys think about what tenants you want, Brian? Because I think to myself, like, you go, then you think, like, no, man, what's Vovotello doing here? I don't want to chain here. I associate 44 Stanley. I associate it with what I will be able to get a quaint little place here where I can pick up a work of art, an interesting old secondhand book, or I can have breakfast at a place that doesn't exist anywhere else in the city.
Okay. All right. Can you remember a Vovotello before 44 Stanley Avenue?
I don't know. It's a good question. Was that the first one?
That was the first one in Johannesburg.
Oh, right.
And it was run by a really fantastic entrepreneur and a passionate baker from Port Elizabeth. And I didn't see it becoming a big chain. And I can't stand chains. I think the soul of a business is lost when you try and expand it into a massive chain. And so that was, I took it on the basis that it was the first in Joburg, and it was a very small, there were three of them, two in PE and one in Joburg. And I still have an issue with chains, and I would still, I can't say that. I'm just about to say on air.
Let's take a call there. Are there headphones around you there?
Yeah,
they are. Put them on for me. We've got someone who lives in Mill Park, actually. Paul's on the line. Paul, thanks for calling in. What do you want to say? Welcome to the show. game. Paws lost their voice there. Let's see whether we can get them back in a second. 17 minutes after 11. We'll take a little bit of a break. We're in conversation with Brian Green, owner of 44 Stanley. I'm also going to ask why call it 44 Stanley. I mean, it's kind of like taken on a brand of itself, but that itself is an interesting way to even just reference that particular space. 18 minutes after 11, the Entrepreneur Corner.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
We hang out with Brian Green, who's a property entrepreneur. I don't like the word property in that description, though, Marva, because these places are so cool that property just doesn't quite evoke what it is that Brian has achieved with his vision. Mpo, in Mill Park, I think we have you now.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sorry about the age call.
Ah, that's okay. Yeah, it's January. Sometimes we run out of data. No?
And you actually just broke my virginity. I'm the first time caller here in 702.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Popped that's your talk journey. Radio cherry. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate Brian Green Damon.
Yes.
There's a nice place in 44 Stanley. It's called Vovotello.
Indeed. He was just talking about it. Do you live in the area?
No, I actually work around here.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get the chance to enjoy a free meal on Saturday.
January vibes, eh? But that is I think part of the reason why people love that space so much, Ryan, is precisely because, you know, you've got all these like intersection of roads there going to different parts of the city, Greenside to Auckland Park, etc. Mm. It can be completely just a space that you don't even think about because it's just kind of like there. Mm. And you took it and you did something else with it. Mm. And I want to move on because that's not, as an entrepreneur, the only space that you've had a vision for. Mm. One of my favorite parts of Joburg is Melville. Mm. I have lost my name there many a times. I need to go and pick it up. Off 7th Street, we have 27 boxes. Mm. And I didn't realize that you had been involved in conceptualizing it as well. And I want you to talk to the 27 boxes vision as well, because I was very curious, as someone who enjoys the Melville space, what will happen to 27 boxes. Mm. Because when it started, then there was a night market and it looked really cool. Then it seemed like maybe it's not going to quite get the traction that one would have intuitively associated with Melville. Mm. What was the vision and how far along achieving the original vision are you?
Okay, well, I don't think there was much vision before we came along because it had kind of morphed into this messy environment with really badly laid out paths. The park element of the space was really bad. The children's play area was old and not used and very, I mean, they had swings surrounded by massive palisade fences. And it just was not nice. And we were called along by Satiek to look at 27 boxes and see what we would do. And it was like a bit of a dream project for me. One, because my partner in 44 Stanley and I were involved in trying to put a shopping center, well, I hate shopping center, but a shopping precinct there about 5 years prior or about 5 years ago. And we got a fantastic late architect, Jeremy Rose, to help us. And we came up with a concept that wasn't too unlike boxes. But as it happens, we were approached just end of 2016 by Gustav Holzhausen to see if we could come and help them. And what we did is we went in there and we cleaned it up. We cleaned it up by painting it. Lulu Bailey came up with the new paint colors, which have really toned the place down and given it a little bit more sophistication. And we Mark and I worked quite heavily on the garden and the play area. Mm. We've created a play area that is, I think, very attractive to young kids now and very hopefully safe. And you're starting to see a lot of kids coming back to the place with their young parents and enjoying the space as it should be enjoyed. And then the garden, as I say earlier, was a mess. I consulted with Patrick Watson, who's one of a real national treasure. I wanted to plant water-saving plants, so we planted succulents, and we laid out fantastic paths. We just made it very simple and easy, and I think over the years it's going to turn into quite a lovely, what I like.
But what are the numbers saying there? I mean, I get that. You know, I go there. I love going there on a Sunday morning.
Mm.
You know, I love having a good curry from Dean's place, from Poppy's Curry Shack, which is absolutely awesome.
Fantastic.
I love their food, but the footprint doesn't seem to be that great. Or is it busy during the week?
Okay, all right. So what I believe you have to do with properties. You have to make them attractive.
Mm.
And it wasn't attractive. So people have kind of given up on 27 boxes a little bit, but we are going to change that and we're going to turn that around by making it beautiful and aesthetically pleasing again. So a very good little point there. The Curry Shack I love. And what we want to do is we've got, again, Lulu Bailey to come in there, and she's going to consult to the Curry Shack and help them for as little money as possible and turn it into a funky little Curry Shack. Because it's called a Curry Shack, it should be a bit of a shack, and it should be something that's beautiful and memorable. At the moment, the food is memorable, but the experience isn't.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And I love the people who own it, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you can do that with a number of the different
it's all about what it
boxes
looks
that
like.
Are there. Yeah,
it's absolutely about what it cool. Looks like.
So we've talked about 44 Stanley. Then we talk about a part of Melville just off 7th Street that can be a site for amazing experiences. It seems to me like you are particularly turned on by parts of the cityscape that other people may not think about. And another part of Joburg that kind of is just waiting to be lifted aesthetically and commercially is around Ellis Park.
Well, I think it's already started, and it's normally the artists that drive these things along. And we got involved in a really, I think it's the most exciting project that we've taken on to date. It's a 3 hectare or 30,000 square meter project that's divided by the Yuxkay River, which we very much on a plan to resuscitate, with the help of Romy Stander and the JDA. And we were asked to go and look at the site and ask what we would do with it, and we ended up becoming partners, and we've partnered up with the people that own the site. And the first thing that I thought about the area, it's a very poor area, and it's quite a transient neighborhood. But there was a lot of what people call negative space or roadways. And I thought, let's turn this into an urban city farm stroke school. So we've already planted all the gardens, and we're hoping to find a farmer that'll come along and help us kind of drive the farm element of this. And we've got a lot of artists and artisanal studios from quite famous artists like Blessing Ngubeni, who is in the Everard Reed space at Victoria Yards. And we've got the Deville Bailey Gallery there, Yellowwoods Art, who is a huge supporter of the South African art scene, buying a lot of art for both Hollards and Nando's. And we've up to about 30 tenants now. We even have a fantastic little brewery called Impi Brewery. We've got a green business college, a chap that makes steel gates and things. So it's a fascinating place, and we hope to launch in March.
How do you make sure that you integrate the communities who live there? Because like I said, some of us like to feel cool and cosmopolitan traveling to different parts of the city for a couple of hours and then back to our suburban enclaves, right? I mean, I love the Bromfontein Market, for example, but you see it. There's a certain crowd that comes there for a couple of hours on a Saturday morning, take a couple of pictures, put it on Instagram, and it makes you feel like you are the exemplar of cosmopolitanism. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, you probably wouldn't go beyond a certain square mile of Bromfontein. And actually, in many ways, the people who live in that area for the entire week are outsiders looking in, while the middle class are there coming to have a bit of a jaw, feeling as if they're so much different to their neighbors who don't want to drive south. But these are just different ways of being elitist, quite frankly. And I've seen similar kind of critiques with spaces like Maboneng, that it results in a crowding out of the very people who live there, even though the concept at the beginning when you speak to the city of Joburg is that we're not just coming here to create new opportunities for business and property and money that can go into the coffers of the city. We also here to try and spread a bit of love commercially that will benefit the communities in which our idea is going to be located. How do you get that right, for example, in the Ellis Park area?
Well, it's very easy to talk about and say you're going to do it, and it's very difficult to do. But what we have managed to accomplish already is that we've employed people, not employed people, we've taken on tenants like David Crano, quite a famous designer and furniture guy. He has already taken 15 people off the streets of Bez Valley, and they are working through his workshop. So they start as sweeps, and they end up on the assembly line. So that's how you start. You start in the smallest possible ways, and those people slowly grow in the system, and the money that they get paid goes back into supporting their families, their homes, fixing that leaking toilet, etc., etc. We've got a woman there from Bethany House. Bethany House is an institution in Bez Valley that support. It's a home for battered women. And we've taken a woman off there. Her name is Dudu, and she runs our gardens now quite informally and in kind of her own way. But it's a beginning. It's a start. So we are dedicated, and we're also very associated with Nando's and an extraordinary woman called Lee van der Vaart, who's a real agitator, and she's helping us integrate with the local community. We're not nearly integrated enough as yet, but there are things that we're going to initiate, like when we have a concert there or a ballet or something, we are going to allow the residents of the neighborhood with the paid up utility bill and an ID book to come and watch a concert for free.
Okay.
So we want to we want it really to be part of the deal.
Beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. Brian, all the best. Love your vision and what you're doing with parts of the city to also get people from different walks of the city to be integrated and, you know, stop anthropologizing each other but actually meet.
Thanks so much for having me.